the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a story from the Hereford Times, read by Charlotte Green.
Lady Hawkins School at Kington welcomed a new headmaster this term. He's a local preacher in the Methodist Church and enjoys outdoor pursuits and young farmers in his spare time.
Thanks to Mike Burks from Herefordshire for that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, on my right, Francis Ween and Jeremy Hardy. And challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Kate Adie. And before we start round one, here's a gardening tip from the Rye and Battle Observer.
Bedding plants water newly planted bedding and protect them from sluts.
Thanks to Anno from Staple Cross, East Sussex, for sending that. Francis, which conference was no party?
I think it's that thing in Blackpool, isn't it? The summer season of the Conservative Party, which has been having its annual jamboree, except it's not much of a fun fest this year because they're all losers. Except that nice boy Haig. He's full of beans, isn't he? He doesn't seem to notice anything's gone wrong. But he's been savaged all week. It's sort of fetus takes on dinosaurs week in Blackpool. And Tebbit has been roaming around making a nuisance of himself. He's so nice, isn't he? Charming man. And he made a speech, Tebbit, saying Thatcher was no good, Major was complete dud. Haig he doesn't like because apparently Haig wants to marry sodomites. Not himself, but he is in favour, according to Tebbit, of marrying sodomites.
What Haig said was, I want to reach out to all members of the gay community. And I thought, do you?
Delegates are just extraordinary at the Tory conference. I mean, is it compulsory that they all have to be utterly hideous? I mean, if a cluster of people looking like that were born in the same area, you'd blame pollution, wouldn't you? Just one after another, you think, what's he going to have? Will he have a weird voice, a funny head, a pelvis growing out of his ear?
The angry mood of the delegates was captured by Lord Archer's speech, which was described as exciting, gripping, inspiring, and presumably written by someone else. Lord Tebbit made his intervention. Many in the party were quick to call Lord Tebbit a racist and a bigot, but others were reluctant to give him such a resounding endorsement. So, Jeremy, who left a soapy mark on the radio?
Oh, yes. Tony Blair went to Russia and appeared in a soap opera on the radio. And it was marvellous because he's driving along in his car and a little Russian lady drops her apples in the road and he gets out to help her and she's about to express her views, but Alistair Campbell and Mandelson get hold of her and persuade her not to express her views to the Prime Minister and to actually keep her opinions to herself so as not to embarrass him in public. And he said, education, 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 in Russian. So his oratory is really branching out now. He's a polyglot with his one word. But, yeah. So I suppose Yeltsin will turn up on Emmerdale or something like that. Go in the wall pack and get blind drunk and have a fight with somebody and pull his trousers down. I thought it was called Emmerdale Farm, but apparently I'm being very old-fashioned. It used to be called Emmerdale Farm. It was all fields in those days. It's probably called Emmerdale World now.
This was Tony Blair in Moscow, where the one-time amateur actor appeared in a radio soap opera. Not so much the Archers, more a sort of From Russia with Lovies. Kate, welcome back to the news quiz. Which president is happy to be seen but not heard? Right, moving on to the next question.
I know. I'm going to consult my colleague.
No, I'm afraid it's a brick wall here. I'm not like the brick walls you normally stand next to because they're rubble. But my brain, it must be Clinton. It couldn't be anybody. Clinton, could it?
He videos people coming round to when give him money.
For his coffee mornings. Yeah. He has his little
Chelsea's grown up and Tupperware he's not going to video anymore. So people come out with money and he gets them to fall over backwards into a paddling pool and sends it to Jeremy Beadle.
And lacy underwear and stuff. And there's a crucial bit of one of these coffee mornings where some Far Eastern squillionaire was just about to say, Mr. Clinton, I will give you $3 million in return for you giving me something. And the sound goes dead at that point on the tape. And Clinton, because he didn't have his hearing aid at that stage, can't remember what the chap was saying. So it's lost to posterity. So he's not going to be impeached just yet.
I'm sorry, I just have to confess that I didn't know the answer to that because I don't spend my evenings, you know, sort of watching reruns of Clinton Gate, and I've got other things to do. I mean, I just feel humiliated by this. I mean, there are these people enjoying this stuff. I mean, look at them over there, enjoying it. It's just taking every sort of single sort of bit of enjoyment out of this.
You can't come on this program and say that we're a bunch of sad people for reading the newspapers.
Getting round to that, yes.
President Bill Clinton, who's released videotapes of coffee morning meetings with political donors, one of which mysteriously misses its soundtrack. On the remaining tapes, the sound quality is suspiciously poor, which has led to many misunderstandings, notably when Clinton is fundraising from a group of young, high-flying businesswomen and seems to be asking one of them, I suppose a quick buck is out of the question. Alan, your piece of music.
Well,
and who've been sent back to their constituency to prepare for opposition?
Well, I suppose it's these blokes at Winchester, is it?
Yes.
They were separated by two votes, and it's going to be enormously important to the future of democracy as we move into the people's century to know whether Winchester's going to be represented by a Liberal Democrat or a Tory.
There were 55 spoiled papers, and the difference between the votes was two. Can somebody explain this to me? If you're 55 adrift...
I think it depends how they were spoiled.
They were the spoiled ones, yes.
Oh, are there different ways of spoiling them?
Yeah.
Let them watch too much telly.
This is the decision to hold a by-election in Winchester after the disputed result in the general election when the Liberal Democrats took the seat from the Tories by two votes. Jeremy Malone, the Conservative, says he's now confident of victory, as there are many good reasons why people can safely vote Conservative. They have a dynamic, charismatic new leader, and there's absolutely no danger of them forming a government. Conservative strategists have been busily working out how to win the seat with a decisive majority, though Alan Clark's suggestion that they should shoot 600 Liberal Democratic voters overnight has been considered very carefully. So, at the end of round one, scores are Alan and Kate 3, but Jeremy and Francis unusually in the lead with 5. Francis, how in future might the web be spun from the grid?
The electricity board, well, actually, it's some branch of the electricity board up in Harlow in Essex, another first for Essex, has led the world in discovering that you can send, if you plug yourself into the mains, you end up on the global super highway rubbish, and every school in the country will be linked up to it. So Tony Blair's vision of a nation in which all children can receive hardcore porn over the internet. Bill Gates was over here this week, but typical Blair, because remember about a year or two ago, Blair was saying British Telecom was going to pay for all these children to get their porn, and then nothing came of that, and Bill Gates arrived, and all Blair's people beforehand were spinning these stories, saying he was going to make a huge donation and pay to wire up our schools. And he took one look at Blair and his gang and realised that there were some people in the world even more nerdy and boring than he is, and went straight back to America without giving them a penny.
The news that the internet may soon be available through ordinary domestic power lines. The news was announced after 18 months of research by British computer experts. The breakthrough itself took only 3 months, but they spent the rest of the time playing Megadeth Warrior 3 with a group of 14-year-old nerds in California. The development's been particularly welcomed by devotees of internet pornography. Not only will they be aroused 6 times quicker, but it'll turn on the kettle for a nice cup of tea as well. Not everyone is so keen on the internet. Princess Anne has warned recently that it will never replace teachers. Princess Margaret has agreed, saying it's not a patch on Gordon's or Smirnoff either. Jeremy, which country's seat is fit for royalty again?
This is Edward's place, is it?
Yep.
Edward, who's looking more and more like William Hague. And is even more implausibly engaged. he's got this big house in Bagshot in Surrey, and for his to move his film company to. And what films is he actually making? I assume that Secrets and Lies and Train Spotting and Nil by Mouth are not his films. Does anyone know any of
Well, he made Edward on Edward. You must have seen that, some telly show he did about Edward VIII.
Oh, he makes home movies. That's what it is. It's crested home movies.
And there was one about Queen Victoria, I think, and he's now working on a 6-part series on Princess Michael of Kent, I believe.
Prince Edward bought Bagshot Place, originally built for Queen Victoria's third son. It will be converted both as a home and to accommodate his TV production company, but it's stressed that funding will not come from the public purse, but from Edward's. Though that should, of course, be wallet, not purse. Like anyone moving house, the prince has had to face the problems of an avocado bath, furry toilet seat covers, and La Cucaracha door chimes. Should he bring them from the palace, or should he buy some new ones? Kate, a piece of music for you to listen to. Kate, whose safe return was far from a mere formality?
Well, if you were sort of whirling above the earth in what looks like three dustbins knocked together, sitting up there with a team who every so often say, I wonder what this via does. And then unplugs the whole damn lot. Pretty scary when you're up there whizzing around. That is Michael Fole, referred to as the British-born astronaut. He is British. And he's very safely and very gladly and very bravely back on Earth.
There's always a risk that Tony Blair would turn up, wasn't there? It being Russia.
Can't walk now. Can't walk. He's been in space so long. The poor bloke's in the wheelchair. Because he's not used to weighing anything. Because if they put him on a catwalk in Milan, he'd be fine.
After touching down in Florida, Michael Fole finally arrived back at his home in Texas. A NASA spokesman said he was lucky to emerge from the ordeal unharmed, since very few British visitors escape a trip to Florida without being mugged. During his time in space, he'd been responsible for repairs to the stricken craft. He explained he'd been doing odd jobs all over the space station, but he put this down to the lack of gravity playing havoc with his digestive system. Alan, whose call to account has split the bill?
The police are divided over something, are they?
Oh, I see, split the bill.
Yes, Condon... hard to say the name. Condon, Condon slipped onto television a couple of days ago, and a lot of his policemen are behaving badly, and the Met is shot through with villains, and he's going to stamp out corruption.
I met a policeman the other night. I was on a demonstration, and this is true, and the policeman came up and he said, I know your face, I've seen you somewhere before, and I was thinking, well, you may have seen me on the television, and he asked me if I was on the poll tax riot.
The Chief Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Sir Paul Condon, has highlighted corruption inside his force. Sir Paul said a significant number of officers were using violence and intimidation against their colleagues, which was completely out of keeping with the traditions of the Met. They should be concentrating their efforts on black people and Irishmen. So, end of round two, the scores are Kate and Alan 7, but Francis and Jeremy holding on to the lead with 9 points. We start round three with a cutting from the Stroud News and Journal.
A local primary school has been described by an Ofsted inspector as the best school he's seen in 20 years. The children have recently been given a wildlife haven, consisting of seats, a pond, and a bog, where the children can go and sit quietly.
Thank you, Michael and Naomi Hull of Burley, for sending us that. Francis, which Latin lovers are minding their language?
It is the new dictionary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That the Pope has produced, because it turns out a lot of bishops, Catholic bishops, don't speak the lingo, the Latin lingo. And so they produced a dictionary of all the sort of words that bishops use in their everyday life, translated into Latin, like page three girl, I think, solitary vice, that sort of stuff.
They're still not on top of modern phrases like birth control or women's rights, of course.
Correct, yes. The Vatican's new Latin dictionary includes 15,000 new words designed for the modern world. As Latin is still the official language of the Roman Catholic Church, the move became necessary because members of the Irish clergy wanted to confess their sins and found there was no word for unmarried mother. However, Latin grammar hasn't changed and is just as difficult as ever. For example, there's now a completely new verb meaning to have sex with a prostitute, which many cardinals are finding hard to decline. Jeremy, your piece of music.
I'm Jake the Beg, diddle diddle diddle, with my extra leg, diddle diddle diddle. Wherever I go, through rain and snow, the people always let me know. There's Jake the Beg, diddle diddle diddle, with his extra leg.
Jeremy, whose body of work consists of new organ pieces?
Is it that they can grow skin now? They got a man and they called Haig and they grew skin all over his head. yeah, they can grow anything. They can swap organs around. They can do all manner of things.
Yes, it's the news that after many years of hard work against all the odds, scientists are now able to produce spare body parts. You have to admire their guts, which are available in an attractive range of styles. Tissue engineer Gail Norton says that her company's technique will be of particular use to sportsmen. She experimented by growing left feet on dummies, but 11 of them ran away and signed for Everton. Kate, who was down by the plains with his horse?
Bunch of archaeologists digging away, immensely excited to have found a horse. They got a few bones, you know, not human, and they've said, right, they've got the entire history of Anglo-Saxon cavalry, having dug up, you know, one rib of it. They've got about 3 inches of bit of old leather, so they discussed bridal wear of the 4th century AD, and they're very, very excited.
What did you mean when you said that they found leather and they extrapolated about bridal wear? I've been past pronuptia many times. And only in the Soho branch do they have leather.
It's you in front of me breathing hard on the window, is it?
It's something you're not telling us. Lovely. I think you should marry Martin Bell. And you could share a room in the Sarajevo Holiday Inn, couldn't you? The question referred to the discovery of a Saxon warrior horseman buried under a United States Air Force base at Laken Heath. The remains of the horse are in good condition, but the human skeleton has damage from a kick to the groin. This may have a connection with a slip of paper stuffed in its mouth reading, 50 groats to win, Saxon horseman, 350, Newmarket. Alan, why is a nod as bad as a wink at the summit?
There's a code of behaviour laid down. There's a Commonwealth conference turning up any day now. And apparently Australians get insulted if you wink at them. It's an extraordinary thing the Australians are insulted by anything, but there's certain things you can't do. The number of fingers you can raise to someone from Sarawak are different from the way you moon at someone from the Gold Coast. And the Queen's going in her socks. Offend everyone. I thought it was heartbreaking seeing the Queen in her socks. Going back to a cardboard palace. A little jar of meth in her back pocket. I thought it was very touching. The socks were of different heights. Then the next day she dropped her speech in Karachi and picked it up herself. There were no courtiers to pick it up. Sight of a member of the royal family formerly seen in socks, bending over with her glasses on the end of her conch, trying to pick up a speech she was unable to read. I thought it was the end of the world. I think we ought to put her under Lakenheath with some cheese sandwiches for the next world.
Question referred to staff at the forthcoming Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting who are being trained in cultural awareness to avoid offending delegates. For example, smiling apparently offends Malaysians, which explains why cannon and ball are so popular in Kuala Lumpur. And the scores at the end of round 3 are Alan and Kate 11 points, but Francis and Jeremy clinging to the lead with 13. And before we start the final round, here's a house advertisement sent in by Len Day of Brighton.
One bedroom, second, top floor flat. Entrance hall, lounge, kitchen, bathroom, WC. No chain.
Francis, your piece of music.
busy doing nothing, working the whole day through, trying to find lots of things not to do. We're busy going nowhere, isn't it just a crime? We'd like to be unhappy, but we never do have the time.
Francis, what accounted for each minute in minute detail?
Oh, it's the National Office of Statistics, having nothing better to do, has decided to make up a lot of figures and publish them at large expense. So they've calculated that women sleep for 8 minutes less than men every night.
What are the men doing while these women are asleep? Well, like all our lives.
They also found, I don't know how, that women waste, I think, 6 minutes a day, and men waste 8 minutes a day, probably those very same 8 minutes. Look at William Hague alone. Every waking moment is wasted.
So, but what are these women wasted doing, and these men? What are they doing when they're wasting time?
Well, it doesn't go into
detail.
When
I was at school, we used to play a game called Up Jenkins. Do you remember that? Really? I don't know what Hague does with his time.
Well, whatever it is, there's probably a Latin word for it now. This is the Time Use Omnibus Survey, a statistical analysis of exactly how every minute of the day is used. The survey also suggested that domestic chores should count towards gross domestic product. For example, if the Prime Minister got Sherry to prepare his favourite dinner party menu for him, she would be paid her barrister's hourly rate. But 250 guineas seems a bit pricey for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 2 points to someone. Jeremy, whose house guest cleared the table daily?
Now, this is a very enterprising man called Lyndon something, who was in the guest house and he nicked all the crockery. Now, I once nicked a cafetiere from a very posh hotel in Park Lane, where I wasn't staying, but I nicked it anyway. But, this man, he nicked everything, which is good, because most people nick, you know, a towel or a spoon. And he went through the whole, it was like a 7,000-piece dinner set with all the weird bits you get, like the salad kettle and the vinegar stand and the steak ladle rest. And he took them all up to his room, and then he smuggled them and he fenced them on the black market and became enormously rich, apparently. And then I woke up.
You're lucky. I end up in hotels when you get there, you find someone's nicked the roof.
This happened at the Lattice Lodge guest house in Ipswich, where regular resident Lyndon Jeffries wanted a little service, so he helped himself to the landlady's dinner set. Jeffries only narrowly avoided jail. The local prison refused to have him, as they'd just bought a nice new set of towels with a smart arrow motif. Kate, how was Auntie left with 2 little ducks?
Tragic tale of a devoted BBC producer who has spent the last several months as a duck. He's imprinted himself upon these wee tiny ducklings, all in the cause of a brilliant natural history programme. And he's been seen somewhere in the West Country, waddling around, you know, with his little tail feathers up. And this was in order to encourage them to follow him everywhere so they could be filmed. And then these little ducks, they sort of grew up and they said, "Oi, oi, don't fancy life as a big duck like him," and they flapped off.
Is there a big row about dressing rooms or something like that?
The story concerned the half dozen ruddy shell ducks, specially bred, hand-reared and trained to do tricks for the Natural World programme. The ducks were trained to fly in formation by the BBC staff. Each followed in line exactly as instructed, with his nose stuck up the back of the one in front. But that's the BBC for you these days. Alan, your last question. Which four-legged advice might prove a sonic boon?
Very strange story. There's a million. I never meet eccentric millionaires. I would have a tie. I would have 2 pairs of shoes. There's a millionaire out there somewhere, even as we speak, who talks to his dogs. And a week or so ago, he was watching television, and he saw, as far as a sort of concatenation of odd events, you couldn't have odder. He was watching television, and he saw that the Thrust motor car, which is trundling across the desert, hadn't gone through the sound barrier. And the reason it hadn't gone through the sound barrier, they didn't have enough money. Apparently, you need a lot of money to go through the sound barrier. I didn't know that. And they needed millions more. And he wanted to help them, but didn't know how. So he went out into the garden and talked to his dogs. He got 3 Labradors. And the dog said, "What you've got to do is send him a check." They came in and wrote a check.
He's up in the Isle of Man. He runs some business he's made an absolute fortune out of. And he's now off in the desert watching the car. and they interviewed his fellow directors, and they said, yeah, yeah, every board meeting we have, he insists on consulting the dogs before anything is decided.
We only got up to 750 miles an hour at this park. You can go to any council estate in the northeast and see children doing that in Skodas.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from the classified ads in a Derbyshire newspaper. It's the swap column, the exchange bit. It says, pine mirror and cycle trailer and assorted rotavator spares exchange for 12 metres of 10mm twin and earth cable or assorted vases or stainless steel champagne buckets.
Jeremy.
this is sent in by Glyn Morrow, and it comes from The Big Issue. In Germany, meanwhile, delegates have come together for the first International Liars Congress, held over 3 days in Berlin. The Congress was the brainchild of lifelong liar Helmut Stank, 45, who wanted to provide a forum for those who simply can't tell the truth. From the outset, however, the project ran into problems. I sent out 2,000 invitations, explained Mr. Stank, but most of the people didn't believe them. So we only had 12 acceptances, of which 4 were hoaxes. The 8 delegates who did attend found they had nowhere to stay because Mr. Stank had lied about finding accommodation for them. Whilst the Greek delegate left after the first day claiming his mother had died, which turned out to be completely untrue. A lecture by Helmut Kohl, meanwhile, turned out to be a damp squib when the latter turned out to be a meat packer from Hamburg rather than the German Chancellor. The whole thing was a huge success, lied Mr. Stank, whose real name is Werner Schmidt.
Okay.
Little item from the Daily Telegraph, which is written by their defence correspondent, whom I know personally is a charming and extremely sort of splendid correspondent with whom I have spent time in a ditch in Bosnia. So he's got round to writing about Northumberland.
Was that before or after the war?
No, it's what you do during the quiet moments in between shelling. Now, on to Mr. Butcher's very interesting sort of professional view of what was happening in Northumberland when 4,000 members of the Territorial Army have invaded the borders for what is believed to be the largest reservist exercise in Scotland since 1945. Among them was Trooper Sandy Orton, 18, who fired live rounds on the target range, then cleaned her SA-80 assault rifle with other members of the Leicestershire and Derbyshire Yeomanry.
Alan.
I've just a snippet this week, Simon, from the Chagford Parish News. It says there will be a potluck supper in Chagford Church Hall next Thursday, followed by prayer and medication.
Well, thank you all. The final scores are Alan and Kate 15, but Francis and Jeremy, winners for once with 17 points. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from Karen Aids of London SW4.
A $5,000 banner welcoming visitors to Washington Library in 29 languages had to be taken down in a hurry. A Filipino security guard who worked at the library spotted that the word that was supposed to say greetings to his fellow countrymen actually said circumcision.
That's all for this week. Until the next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Francis Ween, Jeremy Hardy and Kate Adey. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Wright.